Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wake, awake, for night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying, awake, Jerusalem, arise. Midnight hears the welcome voices and at the thrilling cry rejoices. Oh, where are ye, ye virgins wise? The bridegroom comes, awake, your lamps with gladness take. Alleluia. With bridal care yourselves prepare to meet the bridegroom who is near. Those words should ring out in your minds for the rest of the week. A beautiful hymn that gives a clear confession. I want to ask you this morning, if you knew that our Lord Jesus Christ was going to return this very night, what would you do today? Would you spend 8 hours in front of the television watching football games all day? Or would you do something with your life? It is fine to enjoy these things in this life, but if we knew that our Lord was going to return, how would we live? How would we act? What would we do if we knew that our Lord was going to return next Sunday? What would we do during this week? How would we spend our days? Would we find ourselves frivolously scrolling on Facebook or on the internet on our phones? Or would we be reaching out to our family members, those people that we love, that they might hear once more about Jesus? Would we spend time on our knees in prayer, trying to make sure that all those that we have hurt could hear our confession and forgiving those that we have failed to forgive? Would we find ourselves hearkening the doors of our church day after day so that we might hear the word preached to us, that we might receive the sacrament of our Lord's body and blood often and regularly? Would then be the time that we would stop with the small talk of, hey, friend, how's the weather been? And rather tell them about Jesus. For those of you who did gather here Wednesday evening on the eve of Thanksgiving, I encouraged you to spend the next day with the family members that you would be gathering with and remember that each person that the Lord has placed around you is a person that Jesus Christ loves enough to have died for. And that is a person that needs to know about Jesus. I know that we have been conditioned that there are two things that you are not allowed to speak about with your family members, and they are religion and politics. And while I don't care how much politics you talked about, what I do care about is that you talked about Jesus. Because the fact is, Jesus Christ is coming back. It could be tonight, it could be next Sunday, it could be years from now, but the fact is that no man knows the day or the hour of his return, and so every single day we are to live our lives as Christians for our Lord, that he is seated upon his throne and that he is going to come back. When you gather with your relatives for the holidays, it is interesting what you find to talk about, isn't it? Do we talk about the hard things, the needful things? It's easy enough to share the simple small talk and pleasantries with people that are standing in front of you at the grocery store. But when you're stuck in a room with people that you only see ever so often for hours, what are you going to talk about? Because it is true, if you actually spend time talking to your relatives about Jesus, you will find that the world has taken deep roots in so many people. People who will say, I was raised in the church. I was raised such and such. But what do you confess with your lips? What do you confess with your heart now? Thanks be to God for parents who brought their children up in the church. Thanks be to God for that. But what happens after they are now adults? Do they continue living a life of faith? Or have they allowed the world to gain so much of a foothold that they listen to the words of the world rather than the words of our Lord. Because the fact is, the world is gaining more and more room every single day. The people that you love more than anything else need Jesus. Are you awake? Are you preparing for our Lord's return? Or are you rather listening to the words of the world, words that would make you be woke instead of being awake and prepared? Because to be woke is to be open to the things of the world, not the things of God. But to be awake is saying, I am a sinner. I am a sinner that needs Jesus Christ now more than ever. I cannot earn heaven myself. I need Jesus. Being awake says, I will confess Jesus with every fiber of my being. I will let that light shine in the darkness of this world. Because the lies that the world feeds to your children and your grandchildren and to you day in and day out are from the devil. It is time to turn off the loud noises that the devil perpetuates in our minds. It is wonderful to be in church every single week. But when you give consideration to the fact that church is an hour and 15 minutes out of your entire week, what are you filling all of those other hours with? It's easy to spend 2-3 hours scrolling every single day. It's easy to get lost into binge watching show after show, which is largely filled with garbage. How much time do we spend listening to our Lord? How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time are we asking that God would drive our family members back to Him if they have fallen away? And that God would continue to bless them and keep them in the faith that has been given to them as a gift? We have in our gospel lesson a parable that Jesus tells about 10 virgins. 10 virgins who all have their own lamps. 10 virgins who undoubtedly were a part of the church, whose light shone at a time. Because that fire, that flame is faith, and that faith is given as a gift by the Holy Spirit, done outside of ourselves, done inside by God. But that faith runs out for some. And we see half of these virgins foolishly concerned more about the cares that the world has them concerned about than being ready for the return of the bridegroom. The fact is that none of us know when the bridegroom's returning. So we need to be prepared. Faith is a gift from God, and the oil is the gifts that burn inside of it, that fuel that flame. That gift is the means of grace, a gift given to you this very day, given to you when the Word of God was read to you, when the Word of God is preached to you, given to you as you remember that you identify as a baptized child of God, that you have been washed, that you have been made clean in the blood of the Lamb, that you remember every single day that the devil, the world, and your sinful nature are done. God rules. Every day when you remember your baptism, you are proclaiming to them that they cannot have you because you belong to Jesus. Every time you pray that Lord's Prayer, you are asking for the Lord's forgiveness and remembering that He does forgive you and He gives you everything that is necessary to support this body and life. Every time you come and you lay your sins at the foot of the cross and cry out for God's mercy, and He gives you the words, I forgive you. Every time we kneel together in a unity of faith and doctrine to receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith unto life everlasting. Jesus says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Those five foolish virgins were foolish to the words of God. They were foolish, and they allowed the world to creep so far into their hearts that they abandoned that gift. When the bridegroom finally did come, they had found themselves asleep, but now the time was near. The time had come, the time was at hand, the judge is at the gates. What are we going to do? Our lamps are out. Now is the time that we will go to the dealers. Now we will get enough oil for our lamps. The wise are wise not in and of themselves. They are wise because they have the wisdom that is faith in Jesus Christ. They went to the dealers to get the oil while it was still day. They went to hear the word of God preached to them. They went to hear and receive that word through bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins often. Their lamps were filled not by the world, but by the grace of God. What happens to those foolish once their light runs out, once their faith has given up, once the world has crept so far in that their ears have become numb to the word of God? At that day, when the judge finally comes, they too will knock on the door. But what will happen? They will cry out, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But Jesus, in his own words, says, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Those who refuse to confess the name of Jesus Christ will still utter his name, but to their judgment. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your family and your friends, that they may not be turned to the world, but that they might turn to Jesus. And when they look at you and say, "I don't need the church. The church is filled with just a bunch of hypocrites," say, "No, the church is a hospital for sinners." And it just so happens that the people that sit there week after week acknowledge that they are sinners, acknowledge that they cannot earn heaven themselves, and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that they need him because they need a savior. The church is a hospital. The church is a house for the Lord's to gather, that his people, his bride, might gather and be washed by him, that he might feed and nourish them. St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. They shall not escape." You do not need to live in the darkness of this world, and neither do your loved ones. They need the light of Christ as you do. Let that lamp burn brightly in the darkness. Their hearts are mourning. Their hearts are broken. And the world gives them thing after thing to try to fill a void that can only be filled by God himself. Do not let the day of our Lord's judgment come to bring sudden destruction upon you. Prepare every single day for it. "Pastor, how do I prepare for this?" You're doing it. Pray, worship, believe, receive the gifts, speak of Jesus every day, and not in vain, not in blasphemous ways. Let the name of Jesus be on your tongue to his glory and to his praise. Let all who are in the darkness of this world see the light that is Jesus Christ. Let your lamps be so filled that nothing can snuff out that burning flame. You are sons of light. Sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Be awake. Be preparing. Be ready, in season and out of season. Put on the helmet. Put on the breastplate of salvation, of faith, of love, and of hope. Let them see the reason that you have joy in the midst of so much death and destruction. Because our joy is found not in the things of this world, but in Jesus. Keep sober. Keep vigilant. Do not allow the drunkenness of this world to overtake you. The day is coming when this bridegroom, our bridegroom, will return to take us to himself for eternity. And on that day, just as Isaiah foretold, the heavens and the earth will pass away, and behold, he will make all things new. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. In those days, heaven will be filled with singing, just as the church is filled with singing, singing the praises of the one who shatters the darkness, who has overcome the darkness. We are the new Jerusalem, the new Israel. This is not a plot of land in the Middle East. This is the people who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. God cut a covenant for that land in the Old Testament, but once there was a rejection of his Son as the only hope of salvation, that covenant is done away with. It is fulfilled in the coming, in the death, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The focus now is on the new Jerusalem, the new Israel, the church, the bride of Christ. On the day of our Lord's coming, he will come and there will be joy, but at the same time there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For the Christian, it will be a day of joy, because all the wrongs, all the lies will be finally done, and only the truth will ring for eternity. On that day, the bride of Christ will go in to meet him, and there will be eternal communion, never to be done away with again. And so, sing with joy these words. Zion hears the watchman singing, and all her heart with joy is springing. She wakes, she rises from her gloom. For her Lord comes down all glorious, the strong in grace and truth victorious. Her star is risen, her light is come. Now come, thou blessed one, Lord Jesus, God's own Son, hail Hosanna. We enter all the wedding hall to eat the supper at thy call. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.